The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and on this edition of the show, I'm joined, as always, by my right-hand man, the brilliant Mr. Vittorio Campanile. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, Vittorio. It's a challenging day in this industry because there seems to be news breaking left, right and centre. About various different subjects. You know, just before we've gone to record this, we've heard that Tottenham in the UK have sacked Jose Mourinho. But I want to take it back to the other big story first, with regards to the European Super League. Now, we heard yesterday that the clubs had signed an agreement. We heard late last night that it was all confirmed. An announcement was made. We know that from the Serie A clubs, we've got Inter, Juve and Milan, who have all signed up. First of all, Vittorio, what's the response been like in Italy to this news? Because here in the UK, everybody is furious with it.
Yeah, you know, I was reading a lot of websites in England, and I have to admit that the reaction there is what I like most. Here in Italy, Gazzetta dello Sport has been really, really strong, and I'm a little bit surprised, but I really appreciate that. They said, absolutely no, that's not football. But I have to say that a lot of journalists have not backed, but said, well, this is the future of football, which I totally don't agree. The fact that a couple of teams qualify each year for what they call the Super European League or something like that, the new Champions League, how you want to call it, doesn't make sense, especially because, and I tweeted this yesterday, last night, it's so funny, the year where Juventus it's in danger to not qualify for the Champions League, they come up with the Super Europe League, right? it's a coincidence, right? And again, you should put there the best team in Europe. You know, if you put the best team in Europe, well, you have to say, okay, this is the stronger team. No offense to you, but Arsenal, Tottenham are definitely not the top teams in Europe. Juventus is not the best team in Italy. Atalanta beat them. They drop points against Benevento and so on. Bayern is not there. Can we say that Bayern, Paris Saint-Germain are probably the two best team in Europe at the moment? So I don't like it. This is against all the origin of football, how football started, right? Everybody is able to compete. Money, it's important, obviously, but it's not why teams win. We know Leicester won the Premier League and so on. So I'm totally against this, and it's funny and a little bit sad to see how many sport journalists, supporters of Juventus, Inter and Milan tracking, saying that this is the right move just because their team are there. It would be very interesting to see how Inter journalists would react if Inter wasn't part of those teams. So I'm a little bit not surprised, because I could expect this, that the newspaper are a little bit divided here in Italy, while in England it looks like they're all against this.
Yeah, because I guess the point sort of I've been making all morning is that, you know, but this applies to Serie A as well. You know, if you are in charge of Serie A or you're in charge of the Premier League, to lose some of your biggest clubs would be massive. Now, obviously, the European Super League plan is not for those clubs to stop playing domestically, right? The plan was for them to continue. And this is a replacement for the Champions League and not the league competitions. It is important to stress that. However, what you are seeing now is you are seeing the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, etc., taking a stance, a hard stance, in order to try and stop this happening and saying, well, you're not going to then compete in our competitions. But I'll put this question to you, Vittorio. Can Serie A afford to lose Milan, Juve and Inter? Will they be able to get the same level of investment, i.e. TV rights? Will they be able to get the same level of sponsorships in through the door without three of Italy's most famous football clubs? I would say no. And therefore, I think that the Premier League, La Liga and Serie A will all eventually back down on this.
That's a valid point, and I totally understand what you're saying, and you're probably right. I don't think it's going to be the same investment, but we have to make it clear that if this Super League starts, and I was reading today that every team will get how much? 350 million euros? I mean, this will mean that Juventus, Milan and Inter will be three times better than all the other teams. So Serie A, like Premier League, like La Liga, would be becoming a boring league because Juventus can invest seven times more than Roma and Lazio together. So, you know, they can make mistakes, but overall, they will get the best players. All the best players will be Juventus, Inter, and Milan. So this league will be very boring and it will kill local leagues, Serie A, Liga, Premier League, and so on. So, you know, yes, Serie A will lose a lot of money, but if they accept, they will die. It will be like friendly matches. So this is a very important point. The other thing that drives me really crazy, Harry, is that Andrea Agnelli has been the president of the ECA, right? That said, no, we are back in the Champions League, et cetera, et cetera. But most of all, and things probably people outside Italy don't know about that, Italy, Serie A, has been talking with some private equity funds to back Serie A. They wanted to bring money in the Serie A to found a company to sell TV rights of Serie A and make money out of that. And they would offer 3 billion euros to Serie A clubs. This is a lot of money. Serie A gave Andrea Agnelli, Lazio owner, and other three clubs to talk with this private equity to find a deal. Guess what? Agnelli said that, no, we don't want it. And now you understand why, right? Because if you give 3 billion euros to Serie A, well, all the clubs will be richer. They can invest money, etc. Like this, saying no and doing the Super League will mean that only Juve, Inter, and Milan will get a lot of money. All the other will be poor and not be able to compete. So this is disgusting because you know you were doing that and you went against the Serie A. So this is the thing that I hate more.
Yeah, I mean, Agnelli's come out of this looking terrible, hasn't he? He's been at the forefront of the new Champions League structure as well. So why was he even working on a new Champions League structure, trying to ram it down people's throats when he knew that the European Super League was being cooked up behind the scenes and was about to be announced? It seems as though he started working on one thing, has found a better offer and has jumped ship. And listen, I mean, I'm a supporter of a club that are part of this Super League, right? I'm an Arsenal supporter and I disagree strongly with the idea of it. But what I will say is when you look at where Arsenal find themselves now and you look at the fact that they are struggling financially, unable to qualify into the Champions League, the appeal of somebody coming along and saying, well, if you join us, you will get this amount of money first. And every season, you will be guaranteed a huge revenue from European competition, regardless of how well you perform. You can understand, Vittorio, why these clubs have gone for it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like if tomorrow they ask Parma, do you want to join? Of course they will. You know, I mean, it's obvious. But the thing is, the Champions League has been built to give the chance to every team in Europe to compete and win this trophy. Premier League, Leicester won. We remember Porto won the Champions League. Now it won't be possible anymore. Now it will be all to this team. And we talked about Arsenal, but who says that Juventus is an European excellence? When was last time that Juventus won the Champions League? I mean, you know, why are they there? Other teams should be ahead. Why Porto that beat Juventus is not there? Tell me. You know, Manchester United is in the semi-final of Europa League. Why Manchester United is there? You know, this is the problem. This is the problem. They all do it for money. They say it's because we have to make it more spectacular, etc. Fiorentina fan, why should you watch this Super League, European Super League, when they're playing Tottenham against Atletico Madrid? I don't care. It's not that, I mean, the Champions League is a trophy that it's so important. And even if Porto wins it, it's still unbelievable, right? It's an achievement, etc. This is a sort of friendly league. And why do I care if Juventus win it or Milan win it?
Yeah, and what incentive is there for those teams to actually make the investment that sees them win it? There is no incentive whatsoever, because regardless of whether these founding clubs finish first or 15th, they will still be in the competition next year. So if I'm an owner who doesn't particularly care about the footballing side, and there are plenty of owners out there who are in it for the money, are in it for the business side, if I'm, you know, and let's say if I'm Agnelli, for example, and I'm running Juventus, let's keep it Italian themed, you know, with that money coming in, why would I want to go and invest that money back into my squad when, regardless of where I finish, I'm going to be in the competition next year and that money's going to come in again next year?
Yeah, you can even say, okay, this year we're going to go all for it and try to win it. And then in the next 3 years, I'm going to fold. You know, I'm going to sell every player, get all that money. And, you know, for 3 years, I'm relaxing. I'm investing in, I don't know, luxury houses and things like that. I get the money. I don't get relegated. I'm happy. And who cares? Now, I think the most important thing about this is to see if UEFA and FIFA really will do what they said. So teams will be banned from Serie A and players won't be able to compete to the World Cup, because that's what can make a real difference. You know, if, you know, you go to English players and say, okay, if you participate to this league, you won't be able to compete to the World Cup, because football players love to win the World Cup as well. So, you know, that could be the thing. As you said, money is a big issue, because obviously the zone that has the TV, Serie A TV rights will say, hey, well, without Juventus, Milan and Inter, now I want a huge discount because probably less fans will watch it. So that's a big problem. But at the same time, if these teams will play in Serie A, it will be boring, because Milan will have all the best players and Lazio and Roma and Napoli will have to, you know, find players somewhere else and not as good as the one for Juventus, Inter and Milan, because they have far less money than the others. So they're killing the local leagues, which is the bread and butter of football, right? The rivalry. I mean, you are an Arsenal fan. You compete against Chelsea. You compete against Tottenham, right? It's the fun of the football game. Yesterday, Roma lost. All Lazio fans were happy. If there's not any more Lazio against Roma, but there's Tottenham against Atletico Madrid, there's no banter anymore. There's no jokes. I don't have any rivalry with Atletico Madrid. Yes, there's Barcelona-Real Madrid. Okay, shall we do Barcelona-Real Madrid every single weekend? Shall we do Tottenham-Arsenal or Tottenham-Chelsea, Arsenal-Chelsea every single week? Because Chelsea-Atletico Madrid could be a very boring match. We know that Diego Simeone is not a manager that play brilliant football, right? So then bring in Atalanta, that it's a much better team to watch. It's fun, right?
This is the thing, right? It's all about the clubs that have the financial sort of power and clout, or maybe not right now, because we know in the middle of the pandemic, there were a lot of clubs who are struggling. But what these clubs do have is they have a global fan base. They have a global appeal for the most part. We've heard that some of the German clubs are not interested in this. And we've heard that Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund are against it initially, but I can see them signing up, Vittorio. I can't see how Bayern Munich, for example, can look at this and go, we can stay away from this. I just can't see it from a financial standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a commercial point of view. How can they afford being one of the biggest clubs in Europe to not be at the top table with the rest of these big clubs? It feels to me like they will cave in as well.
Well, that's another valid point. I was hearing this morning that Chelsea pretty much said, hey, we had to join because otherwise we would be left behind. So this is another valid point. The German are very different, we have to say. I don't know if you had a chance to talk with them. They are very different on this point of view. And the other thing I'm expecting is, you know, Nike and Adidas, especially Nike, do all this commercial about diversity, integration and things like that. How can Nike back up Manchester City or Adidas back up Adidas, Juventus, if they're doing this league only for rich guy, right? What's the message you're sending? So, you know, I would love to see Adidas or Nike making a statement saying, we invest in football because we think that football is for everybody, gender free, et cetera, et cetera. We are completely against this Super League because we think it's all against football and what football is. So if City goes there, we will cancel a contract with City, Adidas, with Juventus, and so on. These brands that have been in the last couple of years doing all these things, you know, now is the time to prove that you are really up to this instead of, you know, doing it and then close your eyes every time. So maybe this will happen. On the other side, the Champions League for me is still the trophy, you know. As I said, if Porto wins it, it's still the Champions League. So, you know, Bayern may think, well, we're going to win the Champions League and we're going to be on the newspaper all around the world because we will win the Champions League. So we have to see if the Champions League keep that level of entertainment. And, you know, it's like Wimbledon, right? You don't care who wins Wimbledon. It's Wimbledon. And this is the Champions League. So
it's just, is it the Champions League anymore without these glamorous clubs? This is the problem, right? Because, you know, I don't really have an issue with these clubs getting together and deciding that actually UEFA take too much of the pie and actually UEFA have shown themselves to be greedy and actually that they can make more money in this themselves. That's not really my issue with this. My issue with this is the fact that it is a closed door competition, i.e.
that's
15
it.
Clubs are guaranteed to be in it every year. That's my issue. Absolutely. If you were looking at the Premier League and you were saying, you know, or you were looking at Serie A and you were saying whoever finishes third in Serie A or whatever has an incentive to get into this competition, you know, that is fine for me if it was the top three, for example. But the great point that you made and the valid point that you made is that the finances that come with this now create an even bigger gap between the current Champions League clubs and the rest of their leagues, which is already massive, but it's going to become even bigger. And as a result, the Premier League, the Serie A, the La Liga, they're in a position where they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. If they kick out these clubs, their product reduces in value. But if they keep these clubs in the league, with the finances these clubs are going to be receiving, their league is not competitive anymore. So whatever they do, they're in a bad situation. And that is why, for me, this is just a terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing, you're right. You know, at the moment, the rulers are 15 teams qualified every year, and then only five will qualify from the other leagues. Only five. It should be the opposite. It should be like 15 qualifying because they won the Premier League, the Serie A, etc. And then five are fixed because, you know, Barcelona is Barcelona, Real Madrid is Real Madrid, and so on. But the other funny thing is, Juventus, I mean, it's not the excellence of the Champions League. They got beaten by Porto this year, 2 years ago by Ajax. You know, again, Tottenham. How can you say that Tottenham is an excellence? You know, that's the problem. That's the problem. I can agree. You say, okay, Real Madrid and Barcelona has to be in the Champions League every single year. I would add Bayern Munich as well. Yeah. And I get that. But it's all the other that I thought of. Manchester United is not in the Champions League. Why should they be there every single year? Tell me. You know, it doesn't make sense. You say, okay, every top league, not Poland or things like that, gets 14 qualified, and I get it. And then you can give an extra slot, you know, 1 year, Barcelona in crisis doesn't qualify, you pick Barcelona, and I get that. But not the opposite. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it's an absolute mess. And it almost feels as though that the football matches that took place this weekend have become a bit of a side note now. And
yes, but the example is Atalanta had beaten Juventus, you know, and yeah. Juventus will be there and Atalanta not. Atalanta is above Juventus. Atalanta will probably qualify for the Champions League ahead of Juventus, and Juventus is the excellence. Atalanta, no. That's, you know, against football. It's absolutely against football.
Completely.
I'm happy because Lazio will get to the Champions League if we get Juventus, Milan, and Inter out. Well, the other side is Roma will play the final for the Europa League if Arsenal and Manchester United will be banished. But, well.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's and we'll just quickly touch on that game, Atalanta-Juventus. We'll pick up a couple of games because we've obviously spent the majority of the show talking about the Super League, but it had to be done because it is such big news. It is such a big story. Atalanta did beat Juventus. How did that one go? Were Atalanta worthy winners of that? I know it was a late goal from Malinovsky, around about 3 minutes from the end of the game. But were Atalanta worthy winners on the day?
Well, the funny thing is Juventus didn't play bad at all. It was probably one of the best matches of Juventus, and Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't there. There have been so many rumors about that because Friday, Ronaldo picked an injury, and so he wasn't selected. And there were rumors saying that Ronaldo wasn't happy about Juventus and he wasn't so much injured, but he chose not to play. But even without Ronaldo, Juventus played well. The problem is Atalanta is proving to be a better team and deserve to win. Yes, a late goal, but Atalanta was the team playing better and they deserve to win. And honestly, I'm surprised to see Juventus there, but this tells you that Juventus this year have made terrible choices. Rabiot, Bernardeschi, etc. are not player worthy of the Champions League. And now they're risking because Napoli got 1 point against Inter and they're close to Juventus now, that is fourth. So Atalanta this year is terrific. This is the fifth victory in a row for Atalanta. So this tells you how this team is playing so well. And we thought in January when they sold Gomez that they could drop points and maybe not be the same Atalanta we saw last year. They're playing even better probably. So Atalanta deserve to be in the Champions League next year. Juventus, I'm not sure because they're struggling. Now, saying Juventus won't qualify for the Champions League is very hard to say, but yesterday we saw that Atalanta is a better team and they deserve to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant stuff. And the other game we'll just quickly reflect on because Inter had an opportunity, didn't they, to take another step towards the Scudetto. They managed to pull an equaliser back through Christian Eriksen after Handanovic's own goal in the first half. I mean, I wasn't surprised to see Napoli so competitive in a game like this, were you?
No. Napoli's playing great football, especially in the first half. Napoli played much better than Inter. In the second half, Inter came back. One of the reasons was Napoli was pressing really, really high in the first half. There was, since Handanovic had the ball, they were all going up and pressing the defenders, and Inter struggled a lot. Obviously, this is a very difficult type of football, expensive. And in fact, in the second half, Napoli players weren't able to press that high. And this gave the liberty to Inter to play from the back. And this definitely helped Inter. But, and we said it often on this podcast, Napoli has a lot of quality players. Mertens was on the bench, you know. So they had pretty much a lot of option there. Insigne played well. The midfield of Napoli is terrific. So when Napoli went ahead, and yes, it was a mistake between De Vrij and Handanovic, I thought they could win this match. Instead, after they went down, Inter start playing much better, and they deserved to get the point. I thought they had the chance to win that in the end, but they weren't very lucky in finishing. But, you know, I think still the Scudetto is in the hand for Inter, but the fight for the Champions League is going to be really, really interesting now, because you have Atalanta, you have Juventus, you have Napoli and Lazio that are playing great football. I think Roma, after they lost yesterday, they are out, but it's going to be really interesting, the fight.
Yeah, and we'll do a special episode focusing on that fight, you know, for the Champions League places. We'll also do one for the relegation fight as well. And I can't not talk about this game, Vittorio. So we'll pick up on this one as well. Cagliari 4, Parma 3. What a game that was. And you feel as though for Parma now, having been 3-2 up on the 90th minute, to lose that 4-3 probably spells the end of their Serie A stay.
Yeah, I think now they have no chance. And we saw it in the past. This season, Parma lost matches when they were 2-0 ahead. And so Saturday, when they went 3-0, I said, okay, this is finished. For the first time, Parma is going to win it. And no, they couldn't. They couldn't. It's simply unbelievable. This team, every single week, finds new way to lose. And you don't understand why. You don't understand how it's possible. Cagliari is not a team playing great football at the moment, but they find a way to win. It's really unfortunate for Parma, because the new owner made a lot of investment. He put a lot of money in the club. The team is not bad, but I think it's a mental issue. They simply believe they're going to lose, and that's what happened. I mean, there were 90 minutes, they were winning the match, and then they found a way to get to allow two stupid goals. And this happened every single time. So, unfortunately, I think for them, the race is over. But we saw that Torino winning created a lot of suspense, because now Fiorentina and Benevento are struggling. They really have to fight the way to stay in Serie A. Same thing for Cagliari. The victory against Parma is not enough. They're still bottom third. So I'm sorry for Parma, because I thought this year they had a great team. And sometimes, you know, it's not your year. Everything goes wrong. And this is what's happening for them.
Yeah, absolutely. But as I say, we'll do some special episodes on that Champions League race and on that race for survival as well, because things are hotting up in the Serie A. Thank you to Vittorio for joining me. Vittorio, how can people follow you on social media?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Vittorio Campa. Talk about Serie A most of all. So there where you can follow me. Or Lazio Lounge, my podcast in English about Lazio.
Brilliant stuff. Make sure you check out both. I'll leave the links in the description. We'll be back a little bit later on this week with another edition of Simply Serie A. Let's try and digest the Super League news. Let's try and get our heads around it, because I'm sure things are going to change dramatically over the coming days, weeks and months. So plenty to get our teeth into. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. Follow us on Twitter at Simply Serie A, and we'll be back again with another episode very soon. Until then, ciao.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.